The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable.
Today we're going to continue our series that we've been going through. It was through Lent, and it'll be a couple more weeks here, called The Great I Am. Today we're going to talk about when Jesus is I Am. And our scripture is found in John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. But I got to do this before I get there. The song that Lisa just sang for you, she left out a good part. It was good the way she did it. I mean, it just really speaks to you. Tim, can you throw, I don't know, about the lion inside of you from that song that Lisa just sang? I'm never going to get it right, but she might not have put it on there. She said it was the bridge. He'll get to it. The song, I can't believe you actually cried when you were singing it the other day. I was crying when I was sitting over there. I cry right now. How could I ever give enough to God for all he's done for me? I mean, that's where I'm at. And he goes on and he's talking about singing to God and praising God, and we can never do it enough. And come on, soul, don't go shy on me. Lift up your song. There's a lion living inside of you that wants to praise and wants to release and worship God. And we do it so timidly and stuff. So you might hear that song again somewhere down the line. Because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord and stuff. And we should be praising God with everything we have here. Everything of our fiber, our beings, our whole bodies should be praising him. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I guess it's not, but maybe it is. Again, we're in the great I Am. And when Jesus is the I Am, and in John chapter 8, verse 21 through 30, which we're going to read in just a moment, Jesus is having this interaction with the people. And someone once said that there are 256 names in the Bible for Jesus. We heard just a few of them in the video that they went through. And some of them, if you're reading that up there, you'll read some names of Jesus that are found within the I Am. But there was one name that got Jesus in the most trouble. And do you know what that name was? I Am. when Jesus said, I am, and that's what we're going to read about today. You know, all of these, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. And when Jesus was there talking to these people and he said, I am, that got him in trouble. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's read through our scripture, and then we will get into that, why he got into so much trouble. Begin at verse 21, it says, once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is this why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sin. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. As he spoke, many believed in him. Thank you. You may be seated. And the rest of this chapter goes on. Jesus continues to have kind of a heated, very kind of controversial discussion with the people. And then in the very end of this chapter, John chapter 8, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple guards. Now, obviously, Jesus has said something here in these last two verses that I just read for you that really pissed these people off. They are mad at him. But what is it that he said to them? I mean, all he said was, before Abraham was born, I am. What's the big deal in that? Well, the big deal was this. Centuries before Jesus came on the scene, Moses, he had met with God at the burning bush. And God told Moses that he was the chosen one to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What am I supposed to say to them? And God gives his response in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God says to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You see, what God was telling Moses right there was, that's my name. My name is I am. And so when Jesus is standing up before this crowd, he's having this discussion with the crowd, and he says, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus was claiming God's name. I am. He was saying, I am God. And all the Jews knew exactly what Jesus was saying, that that's what he was doing. And if Jesus hadn't been God, then his claim, it would have been blasphemy. And he would have been causing a sin. And he would have been deserving of being stoned to death. But of course, Jesus, he was God. Well, he still is God. And so it's not blasphemy. Jesus had come to be God in the flesh for us. And that is why when the angel appears to Joseph before Mary has this baby, and Mary's going to have this child, and the angel says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Jesus came to be God in the flesh, to be God among us. He was the great I am. But what exactly does that mean, that Jesus is the I am? Well, there are a number of times throughout Jesus' ministry, and he says that he was the I am. The term that Jesus uses here and in other places within our scripture, it's a Greek word called Ego weme. Ego means I, and weme means I am. And so Jesus is literally saying here, I am the I am. Kind of redundant, doesn't it sound like? But Jesus is saying, I am God. And Jesus uses that phrase several times. For example, every time Jesus said something like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Or when he uses a term like, I am the good shepherd. He is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. And every time he is saying that, he's saying the I am God in the flesh. He was saying, these are the things that I have come to do for you. These are the things that I have come to be for you. And I can do all of this because I am God. I have come to be your way, your truth, and your life. I have come to be your resurrection. I have come to be your good shepherd. And over and over and over again throughout scriptures, Jesus said, I am. See, there's no one else who is I am. And because I am, Jesus says, I can supply everything that I have promised to you. Someone once put it this way and said that science says that we need four things to survive. We need water, air, food, and light. And Jesus said, I am the living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life. And I am the light of the world. You see, you cannot survive without Jesus. Now, that all sounds really good and everything. But what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that I cannot survive without Jesus? There are all kinds of people out there who are powerful, who are influential, but they didn't need Jesus to get there. There are all kinds of people who are famous. They have their names in history books. We talk about them all the time. But they didn't need Jesus for that. There are all kinds of people who are wealthy. They have all kinds of money. They have these mansions. They have these really nice cars. But they didn't need Jesus for that. So what do you mean that I cannot survive without Jesus? Well, for example, wealth and power and fame, they only get you so far. They can make your life more comfortable. There's no doubt about that. But they cannot make it so that you survive. One person noted that for those who devote themselves to money, you know, money is their desire. Money is what they strive after. Money is what their drive is. That it seems to eat them away from the inside out. On the inside, they lose their joy, their spontaneity, their generosity of impulse. And outside, they just seem to wither, to become pale, to be drawn and get fragile looking. Howard Hughes, some of you will know who he was. He's an example of that. He was one of the wealthiest men who ever lived back in his day. He was famous. He was powerful in his youth. He dated some of the most beautiful actresses of that day. And his money could buy him almost anything. And it often did. But do you know that the last 20 years of his life, he spent it as a recluse, someone who was totally isolated from others. Now, we have this pandemic going on, and we're supposed to be socially distanced. Well, Howard Hughes, he had a down pat. He didn't see really anybody. He became an extreme hypochondriac. These unnatural fear of germs. He refused to cut his hair, to cut his beard. He refused to cut his nails. The only people who ever saw him were his doctors and his personal servants. And you know what happened when he died? Nobody cared. Nobody cared about him and stuff. See, people who depend upon money or fame or power for their survival, they're doomed to disappointment. And that is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Paul is speaking about Jesus, and he puts it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. See, Paul was saying, I can trust him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust him to protect everything that I put into his care. Now, I can't trust the things of this world. I can't trust the things of this world to last. I can't trust the things of this world to protect me. I cannot trust the things of this world to help me survive. But I can trust Jesus because he is the great I am. And I need him to survive. Now, it's also interesting how Jesus said what it is that he said. He didn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Someone once wrote a poem about this, and the poem goes this way. I'll get my poetry reading voice on here. It's not me. I was regretting the past and fearing the future, and suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. Because I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in the moment, it's not hard. Because I am here. My name is I am. Another person noted that Jesus is the only one who will never leave me nor forsake me. See, Jesus is here. He is here now. He will be there always. He is everything and anything that you will ever need, and he will always be with you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Reminds me of the promise that God made to Joshua. You know, Moses has just passed away, and Joshua is being given the leadership over the nation of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, no matter what difficulties you may encounter, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because Jesus, he is the great I am, and he will be with you no matter where you go, no matter what happens to you. Let's get back to our scripture for just a moment here. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now in there, that word he, kind of toward the end there, some scriptures, some versions that you have there, they may have it italicized, they may have it in parentheses. And the reason being is that word he is not in the original Greek manuscript. It was added afterwards so that people would know that Jesus was talking about himself and things like that. And since that word is not there, what Jesus actually says is this: unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Guess what two Greek words Jesus is using there? Yeah, ego oeme. I am. Unless you believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. Now, there are two ways that you could really read that. You can read it as Jesus saying something like, if you do not believe that I am God, I'm going to punish you. You're going to die in your sins because I don't really like you very much. That's one way you could read that. But see, that's not really the Jesus that we see in the New Testament. If you go to John 3:16, which many of you will know, it's probably the most popular verse that is out there, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the problem is, we stop right there. We leave verse 17 out, the long lost verse, John 3:17. Listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, that's just as important as 3:16. But if you reject this idea that Jesus is the I am, you're going to die in your sin, but not because God doesn't like you. Matter of fact, God loves you. But you are going to die in your sin because you have refused the only cure that God could offer for your shame and for your guilt. It's like you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you that you have cancer or you have some life-threatening disease. Maybe you have COVID-19, and it's going to kill you. This is going to kill you unless you take this medicine. I have medicine that will cure you. What are you going to do? Most of us would agree, and we would take the medicine. Do you realize without that medicine that the doctor's going to give you, you will die? And our sin is very serious business. That's why Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death unless you take the cure. And the cure is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who is the great I am. And you accept Jesus by believing that he is God. He is God in the flesh, the Son of God. You repent of your sins. Say, I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to follow after you. You are my Lord and my Master, and I'm following you. And once you've done that, you're his child. You become a child of the King. You are adopted. You are a child in God's family. One person put it this way. They said, if you don't follow Jesus, you won't go where he went. But the flip side of that is true as well. If you do follow Jesus, you will go where he went. I want to wrap up with this story. There was one day a woman, and she was praying, and she asked God, listen to this question. She asked God, who are you, God? Maybe a question you have asked yourself when you've been praying and stuff. Who are you, God? And God answers, I am. But she continues, said, but who is I am? And so God replies to her and he says, I am love. I am peace. I am grace. I am joy. I am strength and I am safety. I am shelter. I am power. I am the creator. I am the comforter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And by this time, the lady is just broken down in tears, and she's just sobbing. And she looks up and says, God, I think I get it now. I understand who you are. But who am I? And God tenderly wiped away her tears, and then he whispered, you are mine. You see, Jesus, he is the great I am. He is God in the flesh. He is God. The question is he your God? Are you following after him?